Dia tena mila mivavaka amin'ny izay tsika dia mangataka amin'Andriamanitra mba omeny bebe kokoa.
It's our inheritance. It's an opportunity for reaching out to the lost. And it's a healthy thing for the people of God. So that's just a 10-minute encouragement. Because I don't do anything in 2 minutes. It's impossible for me.
Satrita ma vita ninino anatin'ny 2 minitra ako tsy possible izany amiko tsy mitombo.
Let's pray.
Dotiki vavaka.
Father, as we turn to your word this morning, we ask that you would minister to each of our hearts.
Raio ray todika amin'ny teninao izay amin'ny timarainty dia mangataka izay tena hoe miasaty amin'ny fonay tsirairay avy.
I ask you for power to come upon lives here this morning.
Tena mangataka hery avy aminao mba ho amin'ny fiainana eto amin'ny timarainty.
As we consider your gospel.
Rehefa hoe isaintsaina sy resaka ny amin'ny filazantsaranao izay.
And how you save us.
Sy ny fomba izay nanavotanao anay.
In Jesus' name.
Amin'ny anaran'i Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
I want to speak, and I know you've heard some of these ideas before, but I want to speak on the idea of salvation.
And
how the Bible presents salvation to us as something that is instantaneous and also a process. And if you aren't a Christian, I want to say, listen this morning, because I want to absolutely state that God is able to save you. And if you are a Christian and you've struggled in your faith at times, I want to tell you with absolute conviction, God is able to save you. The Bible presents salvation to us in 3 tenses.
So there's
3 stages. There's the past, the present, and the future.
And
we understand that that's how life works. There's the past, the present, the future. But salvation itself exists in these 3 tenses. Salvation is referred to as a done deal, a settled matter achieved in the past. Like Jesus on the cross declared, it is finished. It's complete. Let's look at Titus. Titus 3:4-7.
Fa rehefa niseho ny famoram-panahin'Andriamanitra, mpamonjy antsika sy ny fitiavan'ny olona, dia tsy avy tamin'ny asa amin'ny fahamarinana izay nataontsika, fa araka ny famondrapo kosa no namonjeny antsika tamin'ny fanasan'ny fiterahana indray sy ny fanavaozan'ny fanahy masina, izay nahidy ny betsaka tamintsika tamin'ny alalan'i Jesosy Kristy mpamonjy antsika, mba ho amarinina amin'ny fahasoavana isika ka ho tonga mpandova araka ny fanantenana ny fiainana mandrakizay.
So we have this hope of eternal life.
We're
looking forward to it. Because we have been justified. That's settled in the past, done, complete. So in verse 5 it says, He saved us. Past tense. Jesus saved me. I am saved. That's a wonderful place to stand. To know that 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on the cross, His blood was for me. And because of that act, I am saved. So that's the, we get that tense of salvation, we understand it as a past tense event.
And
have a look at 1 Corinthians 15:2. It says, By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. And that grammar there literally is, By this gospel you are being saved. So you've been saved and you are being saved. And interestingly, you can never lose the being saved. You can't undo that. You've been saved. So you are being saved. If that stops, it doesn't mean you're not saved because you have been saved.
And
I'll explain that a bit more just now, but we are being saved. That's why there's another text where we're told to work out our salvation with fear and trembling.
And
in another text, 2 Corinthians 2:15. It says, We are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. And that the grammar of that text also means people are being saved. It doesn't mean one by one. It means a person is being transformed. He's being changed. So there's the present tense of salvation. You are being saved. And that's an ongoing work. Where I stand right now, God is saving me. And how He's doing that is through His grace. With power that transforms me. So I'm being saved from the old guy who's being put to death, and I'm becoming more and more the new guy who understands the gospel. And then let's look at Romans chapter 5, verse 9.
It
says, Since we've now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him. So we have been justified, past tense salvation. But there's more to it, because how much more shall we be saved? And that excites me. Because I know this isn't the end of my salvation. Where I stand today is not the end. God, you made me new, but I still feel broken. I know I'm not made perfect yet. Let's look at
1 Peter 1:5.
It says, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time.
Isaiah 1:5.
So there's a salvation that is still going to be revealed in the future. I would like to say you haven't seen anything yet. Wait till you see what I'm going to be like in heaven. Wait till you see what God's going to do in your life. He's
going
to make you something glorious. And so when we're in this idea of salvation, we've got to have a full understanding of the past, the present, the future. So let me tell you a bit about salvation. It means freedom. I know there's a broader definition and there are many other aspects to it. So amongst the deeper and fuller understandings of salvation, we must understand it means freedom. You can tell me it means more than freedom. But I want to tell you, you must understand it means freedom. I agree there's more to it. But too many of us haven't even grasped the freedom of salvation. We live under law, we live under religion, we live under moralism. We judge and condemn others, wanting to shrink their freedom because we don't know how to enjoy the freedom of the
gospel.
And when Jesus came to earth, he announced that he's come to fulfill the prophecy made through Isaiah. And he proclaimed liberty to the captives. Now, our church tradition doesn't do that. It tells us we've got to be limited and restricted when we should stand, when we should sit, when we should step up and drink something.
Some
churches are so ceremonial.
And it's
rigid and strict and
ordered. And
we don't see it in the New Testament.
The
church in the New Testament was relational and real and
free. The
church is the called out people of God.
It's
not a building. It's not a set of ceremonies.
It's
not a dress
code. It's
a family.
It's
a body.
It's
a people.
Wool.
And they get together daily in one another's homes and break bread and enjoy God.
So
historically, the church has been excellent at making man's rules.
And in
its attempt to stamp out sin, we try and clamp down on people. You mustn't do this. You can only do that.
I
mean, some churches you cannot even sing in a major key. You can only sing in a minor key, so there's no C, there's only what? A minor or something morbid. Hey, you guys must get some musical terminology. That's what we do. It's not what God does. God expands your inheritance. He says, everywhere your foot will tread, I'll give to you.
There's
a picture of calves, little cows being let free from the stall, and they go bounding into the open field. With rejoicing.
They
are happy. And this is how the people of God are supposed to be happy. Happy with the deal you got from God. Happy with His people. Happy with salvation. Jesus said, I've come to give liberty to the captives. But many of us, we just still live as if we're captives. So I want to show you that these three tenses of salvation mean freedom. Because by Jesus' death on the cross, we have been set free from the penalty of sin.
Now,
when you love God,
you
don't want to sin anymore.
So
I don't need the law to tell me, thou shalt not commit adultery. I don't need the law to tell me that. I love God.
And so
in the inside of me now, the new man says, I don't want to displease him.
I don't want to
steal or cheat or lie.
Because
I love God. Why do I love Him? Because he saved me and made me alive. The penalty for sin was taken upon Jesus on the cross. And there's the past tense of salvation. I have been saved. I am fully justified. That will never be undone. That's why I'm not going to lose my salvation. Because it's God's salvation and he did it. He saved me. Justification. We are being saved. Salvation means freedom from the power of sin. Sin has power. When in my flesh I am tempted, and I choose to give way to temptation. And then I sin. I'm not yet perfect. God is sanctifying me. But salvation says, I am being saved. Jesus is washing me and changing me by his word. He is delivering me from the power of sin. You might say, well, yes, that's right. Someone else who's more triumphalistic says, no, I've been delivered from the power of sin. They accidentally shift the present tense to the past. Like the holy man who's on television, who's casting out demons, and he says, you know, I'm free from the power of sin, and you can be too.
Well,
I want to tell you, he's only partially free from the power of sin. No matter how victorious a Christian looks, he hasn't got total victory yet. There was once a man preaching and he said that. He said, I'm perfect, I'm free from sin. And I think it was Spurgeon who didn't argue with him but brought a jug, a bucket of milk. And poured it over his head. And the guy just got angry in the moment and just lost it. He got angry.
And
wanted to hit Spurgeon. Spurgeon said, there it is. Meaning, I've exposed there's still sin in you. So we live in the present tense where Jesus is breaking the power of sin over our lives. But when you are tempted and you give in to temptation and sin, you are cooperating with your flesh, not with the Spirit of God. And the way that you will finally be delivered
ary ny fomba izay mety hoe afaka anao amin'ny afarany izany hoe afaka anao
is when this body of flesh dies.
Rehefa maty ity vatana ary ny nofo ity.
Because I never saw a dead man sin.
Tsy nahita olona maty nanota izany mihitsy.
He never broke into someone's house.
Tsy mbola nandeha
as a corpse.
Le hoe le faty be iny izany nandeha nangalatra taretran'olona nandeha nanao asan'jiolahy.
A dead man tells no lies.
Ny faty tsy mandaingy izany.
A dead man doesn't pickpocket anyone.
Tsy mbola nisy faty hoe nangary paosy.
So the point is,
kantina tongavana izany
we are being set free from the power of sin.
We isika dia afana ho afaka ny amin'ny herin'ny fahotana.
We are being sanctified.
Ary isika ihany koa dia mihamasinina.
But the hope is,
ary ny fanantenana dia
we will finally be delivered from the presence of sin.
Isika ny afarantsika dia ho afaka tanteraka amin'izay hoe fanatrehan'ny herin'ny fahotana izay.
And that is glorification.
Dia izay le hoe fanomezam-boninahitra.
So I've been justified.
Izany hoe efa nohamarininako.
I'm being sanctified.
Ary mbola mihamasininako.
And I will be glorified.
Ary homem-boninahitra indray andro any.
And all that by the grace of God.
Ary izany rehetrarehetra izany dia amin'ny alalan'ny fahasoavan'Andriamanitra.
That is his salvation for you.
Izay le famonjeny ho anao.
It's the whole package.
Izay le finosana iray manontolo.
He does all of that.
Ary izy no manao an'izany rehetrarehetra izany.
He is doing the sanctifying through the washing of his word.
Izy no manao an'le fanamasinana amin'ny alalan'ny fanasany amin'ny alalan'ny teniny.
Changing how you think and causing you to behave in a more holy way.
Manomboka manova ny fomba fieritreretanao izy dia manao izay ahatonga anao hitondra tena amin'ny fomba isan-karazany izay tiany hatongavana.
And when Jesus comes back again,
dia rehefa miverina indray Jesosy
we will be glorified. And you won't have to glorify yourself. You'll be raised to life in a new body, the resurrection of the dead and glorious body.
And
as God did the work in justifying you,
Andriamanitra no manao ny asa amin'ny fanamarinana anao.
Setting you free from the penalty of sin.
Nanafaka anao ho afaka misazy ny fahotana.
Jesus is working to sanctify you and break you free from the power of sin.
Jesosy miasa izy manamasina anao anala anao ho afaka ao amin'ilay herin'ny fahotana.
And Jesus will come back and you will be glorified as you are completely removed from the presence of sin and it from
you.
So it's interesting. We ask for God's presence, His power, His peace. And we have these in reverse order. We are set free from sin, so we get peace with God. So first comes peace with God. And then comes power. And that's the present tense of salvation. His power is at work within us, the Bible says. The same power that raised Christ from the dead now works in you.
Le ery mitovy amin'ilay nanangana ny Kristy tamin'ny maty iny amin'izao fotoana izao miasa ao anatinao.
And finally, when we no longer live in the presence of sin, meaning we've died and been glorified, we'll live in the presence of God. And this is what we want in church, in meetings, and in our lives, we want the presence of God.
So
I want to ask you, what is the end goal? What is the end goal that we're aiming at? In many churches, if you go there regularly, you get the feeling that the end goal is holiness in us. Many people interpret that as the end goal. They think holiness is what God wants.
And you
think this is all that you're supposed to be doing is following the rules and making yourself holy.
Don't sin.
Don't do this. That's not the end goal. It will be the end result of God's salvation in our lives that we are holy. But it's not the goal. The goal, the thing we want and the thing we seek, is the person of God. And to understand salvation properly, you must settle it that your goal is not that you are perfect, but that you have God. God is making you perfect so that you can have Him. He's not making you perfect as a trophy that you put in a cabinet. He's making you holy so you can be in relationship with Him. So when it comes to the idea of the presence of God, the power of God, holiness. Sometimes the church just wanders off into a trap. When we make power the goal, we have a weird church. I don't know if you've seen some churches where it's all about signs and wonders and miracles and demonstrations of power. The power of God is their idol. And church becomes weird. And people are not actually understanding their salvation, and they go on sinning anyway when it's not the meeting. And on the other side, when we make holiness the goal, we have weird Christians. So if you have power as your goal, you get weird church. When you have holiness as your goal, you get weird Christians. The holiness movement became very legalistic. Because they ended up trying to hold on to God without grace. So now I'll tell you the kind of people we need to be. We to answer these two ideas. We need to be a people who want God more than miracles. That's what salvation is supposed to result in your heart, that you want God.
We
must be a people who want God more than miracles.
And
listen to this statement. We must be a people who know holiness only so that we can have Him. Some people want to know holiness so they can look awesome. But we need to know and want holiness so that we can have Him. So I want to ask, who are you in the story? Have you understood salvation is a three-movement symphony of God? Do you desire the person of God? Are you seeking His presence? Do you walk in His power? Have you made peace with God through the cross? Let's pray. Lord God, I thank You that You invite us to have peace with You through the cross. Thank You for saving us. Thank You for what You did 2,000 years ago. Now, Lord, thank You that You give us grace to walk in power. Thank You that in the present tense of Your salvation, You are delivering us from the power of sin. And thank You, Lord, for the hope of glorification, where we look forward to the revealing of what Your salvation is in its completeness. Thank You, Lord, for Your salvation. Amen.
Amen.